This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, it's over, guys.
We think.
We do think.
We think.
What do we know?
No, we know. The Rays have walked off the Rockies in the first major league game at George Steinbrenner Stadium. Mm.
It is officially George Steinbrenner Stadium?
I don't know. I was just going off what you said. And I don't even know if it's the first major league game there. Maybe they've played another major league game there. I don't know. Here's what I do know. The Rays are 1-0.
Okay. Our Rays.
Yeah, our Rays. Future Rays. Portland Ray Cameron Meisner walks it off with a home run in the bottom of the ninth.
It is a nice. It's a nice stadium down there. Used to watch spring training games there, and it's a nice field.
So Wall Street Journal did a little bit where after the Arizona-Oregon game, they were complaining about the same thing we were.
Yeah.
And they wrote an article called The March Madness Phenomenon That Instantly Drives Fans Crazy, and it is all the stupid reviews at the end of games.
Yeah.
It's just absurd.
I believe the Oregon game, there were five possessions in a row that had to be reviewed. And that doesn't even include the timeouts and the fouls. You know, I was watching that game, obviously having a vested interest in the show in Oregon. I considered turning the damn thing off and being like, you know what, I'll go watch highlights. It was that bad.
Yeah, they said that game, we lost 25 minutes to just watching them watch for review, or like watch the monitor on review.
25 minutes.
25 full U.S. Meridian minutes.
And that was in the last 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
What are we on, Greenwich Mean Time?
I don't know. Sounded good.
All right, I like it.
So they said in total, there have been at least 52 reviews so far, and together they've lasted a grand total of 111 minutes and 23 seconds.
That's brutal.
Considering that a college basketball game is only 40 minutes of action, that's nearly three full games worth of watching officials huddle, stare at a monitor, and eventually announce their decision.
Yeah, there has to be a better way to do this.
The calls in question have included goaltendings, hits to the groin, and one instance where the refs checked for a flagrant foul only to realize the player had been smacked in the face by his own teammate. Rules analyst Gene Steratore got called on to offer his insight so often that he could be forgiven for once referring to the round orange thing bouncing up and down as a football.
Mm. Someone is saying that is a combined 73 timeouts.
That's combined with 73 timeouts? Yeah. I think he's saying that there are a bunch of timeouts.
Oh.
And he's right.
Yeah.
It's not only the reviews.
It's all the timeouts.
It's all the stupid timeouts.
I thought he was saying that was like if you put all the timeouts together. But yeah,
the other annoying thing is when they review something, it takes them double time because they're also reviewing,
clock. Well,
how much time do we have to put back on the clock?
Yep.
Like, did you see that last night? Did you end up watching the end of the Texas Tech game?
Yes, because we were flipping back and forth between some of the NCAA games and the Mariner game.
So, Arkansas guy misses a free throw. I don't remember the exact scenario, but the Arkansas guy missed a free throw with like 28.1 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
And the clock didn't start. Did you see any of this?
No, I did not see this.
Okay, so the clock didn't start. So they get it up towards half court. They realize the clock doesn't start. They call a timeout to review and get the clock right.
Sure.
So now you got to go check, okay, so how much time do we have to put back on the clock? Well, it started at 28.1. So that seems pretty simple, right?
Sure.
Well, they reviewed it for 5 effing minutes, and then they came back with 24.7.
Why?
I don't know. And they never explained it.
Of course not. It's just, it really is a problem. And I am usually of the ilk of get it right. Right? Like, I would say this about football. People are like, oh, I want to go back to the days with no reviews. And I'm like, you can't do that. You can't have playoffs and Super Bowls decided on something that clearly everyone in the world can see in HD is wrong. And then the call on the field, you can't have it. But with basketball, there's already this idea that you don't need to start watching until the fourth quarter, or you don't need to start watching until 5 minutes left. It's the most important part of the game, of any game. And I do think it is a major problem that basketball has in general viewership, is the part of the game that you're supposed to be like, oh my God, this is the best part, for a lot of people, myself included, is unwatchable. You can't have the most important part of your game be the worst part of your game. And that's what you currently have in basketball. And I try not to complain about it too much, because I don't have a good solution for it. I don't know what the solution is, but this is a major problem for the sport.
And I think they know that. So they're already, so in the NIT this year, because I know you've been watching a lot of NIT action.
I love the NIT. Between that and the women's tournament, I mean, I'm swamped with things to watch.
The NIT this year, there's a new rule, and they're testing this, and it allows coaches to challenge out-of-bounds calls in the final 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So the official does not have the ability to review it on their own.
Good.
The coach has to challenge it.
And have we seen some progress with that?
It doesn't say.
Yeah, because it's the NIT, no one's watching. No one would know. If a tree falls in the NIT and no one's around, did the tree fall? It's a good question. But yeah, I would like that. And if you don't have timeouts, then you don't get to challenge it. Right? Like,
that seems pretty simple. I mean, why not? Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, and then the problem that we have, I guess, with that is that then you run into this with the NFL, which is why in the last 2 minutes, everything isn't challengeable. It just goes right to the booth review. I just don't understand why, in this day and age where we have instant cameras, why can't you just have someone, like they have in football, the speed review? Because I get it. If it's a bang-bang play and it really needs to be dug through, I understand. But some of these don't seem that hard. And I just wish maybe there was someone up there that's literally sitting with the TV people, right? And he has access immediately to every view that the TV has. Because that's what I hear all the time from people. It says, hey, if you're actually down there, it takes a long time to figure out what view, and it's on this little monitor. Meanwhile, some of us that are just at home on the couch, 9 beers deep, we can see the perfect view within 30 seconds of, oh no, this is the way it is. I wish there was just a way that we could have that command center where you had someone there that says, no, I saw this. This is a quick review. We're going with this, you know, ball this way. And that's the one that to me feels like that's the easiest way to get some of this corrected. And then, yes, if you have one or two a game that are really need to be dug through that are bang, bang plays, sure. But some of these don't seem that hard and shouldn't be taking 5 minutes.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I would also add that I think a review to find out if you need to put 0.3 seconds back, forget it.
Exactly.
It's just, and I don't know, it's not football.
Yeah.
It's just football, I get pretty much reviewing everything.
Mm.
Basketball, I think it's different.
It's hard.
You don't need to review every little thing.
I tend to agree.
Well, I'm glad we solved that. They should come talk to us.
Well, I do think if basketball was smart, they would address this sooner than later.
Well, they already are. I mean, like I said, they're testing that in the NIT. They know. I mean, they know it's a problem.
Yes.
They, you know, it's just.
And it may not be an easy solution, but you better come up with one.
Well, here's what's going to happen. We're only just now getting into the meat and potatoes of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
This weekend and next weekend, if you get a big marquee game, say Duke's playing, and you get an Oregon-Arizona situation, people are going to lose their crap.
Yes.
It's going to go so viral, it's going to force them to
And maybe that's what we need. You know, maybe you do need like a real outrage and a big moment to get someone to stand up and be like, we're not doing this crap anymore.
In one other Texas Tech note, I just have to corkscrew this in here.
Mm-hmm.
You said you were flipping back and forth. Did you happen to catch Harlan? Well, first of all, he was great.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Harlan was on that call, right?
He's a national treasure.
Was he on that call?
Yeah, it was Kevin Harlan. He was awesome.
He was really good.
He was so awesome.
He was so fired up for that because it really was a great comeback. They said it was the second biggest comeback in Sweet 16 history.
So it's funny in that it was 16 at one point when we stopped really paying attention to the Texas Tech game. And then, like, we had the little score bug, and then I was kind of checking it out on my phone, and I was like, oh, my God. But it was... I want to say it was 13. It was a 13-point lead with like 3 and some change to go. We didn't even flip over until it was like it got down to like 5, and I was like, "Oh my God!" I'm like, "We got flip over to this." How do you blow that lead?
Williams came alive, and Frederico got like every offensive rebound possible. I mean, that one possession he had 4 by himself because they couldn't hit a 3-pointer.
Well, I'd like to state for the record that. Arkansas, and they even said it on the broadcast, they were really good in the first half shooting. They can't shoot.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know who the color guy was, but he kept talking about this. He's like, Arkansas is not going to keep shooting like this, and they didn't. Yeah. They just, how you lose that lead, they just were hot for the first half, and they were not in the second half. And then, like Will said, Williams, they couldn't handle Williams. And that leads us to Federico.
It's a great name. It's no God-sham
guy. I'm sorry. That's the best name in college basketball.
It's a great name.
And maybe the best name in college basketball history.
God-sham God.
Okay, I'll put it up there. But come on, his name is Federico. That's his name.
It's a great name.
Only learned that last night.
Yes.
That's the beauty of the tournament.
Never heard of him
before. Never would have known that.
No idea.
But we're watching Texas Tech, and then Harlan's like, well, Frederico, because he kept stumbling over it, and he's like, Federico, it's not Fred, it's Fed.
Fed.
Federico. He lives to see another day.
The only thing I'll say is that Texas Tech does...
Like bowl.
And I mean... Nothing for me. Arkansas at least is a nice story. You got Calipari, you know, the whole, you know, Arkansas's got some history to it, comes over, didn't have a team, puts it together. I was pulling for Arkansas. I was a little bummed that Texas Tech pulled away with that.
Wild too. Texas Tech is that coach for Texas Tech is really good. And
that's the white beater.
What?
Isn't that the alleged white beater? Isn't that Chris Baird? Ole Miss.
He's an Ole Miss.
Sorry.
Yeah, Grant McCaslin.
Yeah.
Is his name. He's a really good coach, and they're not jump off the page. They're not like Alabama.
No.
Okay. Alabama's fun to watch.
Yes.
Texas Tech, not as much. But Texas Tech does have a good offense. It's just that Arkansas's length gave them so many problems last night. What's wild about the college basketball tournament is you'll hear about a name. Like, for example, JT Toppin. Mm-hmm. JT Toppin is a lottery pick next year. He plays for Texas Tech. Down the stretch of that game, if you tune in, it's like, okay, I'm going to tune in. I'm going to watch for JT Toppin because he is the best player in that game. He was awful.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't awful. But you look at him and go, that's the best player in the game. Williams ended up being the best player in that game by a mile.
Yeah, was it Darian or whatever?
Yeah, he was awesome. He saved his team and hit the three to tie it. But JT Toppin is their star. And you watch, it's just so funny, the tournament, you watch them and you're like, that's JT Toppin?
Yeah, Brandon Miller had that for Alabama. I remember one year Colorado had a guy, was it Williams, that was supposed to be like a guy that the Blazers were on their radar, and it turns out he wasn't even starting for Colorado. He was like coming off the bench. Zach Collins was this way at Gonzaga. Yeah, you hear a guy's a lottery pick. Well, I'll tell you, Igor Demin for BYU. They're 6'9 white guard. He's the Russian kid. Going into this year, everyone said that's like a top 4 pick. And every time I watched him play, I was like, huh? What? But so much of the NBA is it's based on what you could be. It's based on ceiling, not actually what you do.
Well, we're almost to 4 number one seeds in the Final Four.
Oh, and by the way, it turns out that whole not tanking for Cooper Flagg, maybe not the best idea because he's really good.
Yeah, he is.
I know we hear all the time about like, oh, it's overhyped. No, it turns out... Turns out Cooper Flagg is
pretty good.
Really good.
Yeah. The Alabama-Duke game could be pretty fun.
Absolutely.
That'll be tomorrow, right?
My guess is, though, that Duke plays defense, unlike... See, Duke's exciting whites, I think, play defense. Unfortunately for Provo, our exciting whites do not. So I'm guessing Alabama will not shoot like 50% on 53s.
So Alabama, Duke, Texas Tech, Florida.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And then we'll see what happens.
We got tonight's games. We got Ole Miss, Michigan State, I think, is the first one off.
But you could get four number one seeds, or you still have the possibility of four SEC teams in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Would you want that? Well, you wouldn't, because
no,
you bet on Duke.
I got Duke to win the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you need them to win.
I would not. I'll tell you what, though. If you could pencil it through, bets aside, you could pencil it through. Give me Florida and Duke right now. Let's go.
Yeah, I think we all want to see that
Florida
game.
Duke for the whole damn thing. Let's do it.
I mean, those are probably the two best teams. We'll see how Houston responds. Auburn's funny because they're awesome and amazingly talented, but yet, like, no one believes in them.
Yeah.
It feels like they have all kinds of problems, but yet they just keep winning.
Sure.
So.
I don't want to see Michigan State.
Izzo.
Yeah, one.
Izzo to the Rizzo.
One, I don't like Izzo, and two, they're like watching paint dry. I don't
They're not that fun, are they?
No, they are not.
They're like Texas Tech.
Yes. And so that's just, I
Alabama, Duke, fun.
I would
Kentucky,
like.
Kentucky, Tennessee's not that fun, but Kentucky is. Houston's great. Auburn's great. Florida's great. Who am I missing?
Who else is in there?
There's really not that many boring teams left.
No. I just don't, say what you will, I want to see points. I do not want to see a game played in the 60s. It didn't go well for BYU last night, but that was fun watching.
Yeah.
In the first half when that was close, that was fun watching those two teams just go down and go at each other.
So they shot 51 threes?
51 threes, I believe, yes.
You know how many shots they had in the game total?
60-something.
66.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And the best part is they were hitting 50% of the threes. People were like, well, why would you? If you're hitting 50% of your threes, why would you do anything else?
They said that was the first time since... Do you remember the Christian Laettner shot against Kentucky?
I do remember that.
That was the first time two teams scored over 100 points in the same on the same night. Yeah. Or maybe it's at the same regional. No, it wouldn't be at the same regional. Or would it? Yeah, I guess it's at the same regional because Alabama and Duke are playing.
Mm-hmm.
Two teams scored over 100 points since that night. Of Laettner over Kentucky.
Who was the other side?
The other one I think might have been, Michigan, but I can't remember.
Okay.
But that's like in the early 90s, 93?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the last time you had two teams in the same regional score 100 points.
Well, and now we get it. Duke-Bama tomorrow.
So this is where, as we've been talking about, this is where it's starting to get pretty freaking fun.
Yes.
And fun to watch. Like, yeah. It's not as lame as... In years past with the play. Yeah. I mean, there's some pretty top-notch
exactly.
Basketball.
And even though there's no Cinderella, this is good level. This is good high-level basketball.
All right, Friday headlines. Deion gets paid and chaunts to the Grizz coming up on The Fan.